Father, as we come to your word, we ask that we hear you, that we see you, that our hearts are transfigured, changed by you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this holy, written, inspired word through the Holy Spirit as a gift that we might know you better. Help us to not take it for granted, but in reverence, listen deeply to the word of God. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, found on page 68, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 12. Now, at first glance, this might seem to be a strange passage to read for Memorial Day weekend. Just listen, and hopefully one of the words at least will pop out at you, and hopefully things will be made clear. This is God speaking to his people. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." Now jump further down to verse 17. "You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening." In a little while, we'll look at the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, but I want to unpack a little bit what we just read. The children of Israel were in bondage, they were slaves, they were captives in Egypt. They were there for 400 years. Moses had cried out to God. God's people themselves had cried out to God. And it took 400 years. Our country is not 400 years old. And we think, wow, it's been around for so long. Our country is not 300 years old. I could remember when it turned 200. The kids today think that I'm old. Well, 400 years, God's people were slaves, and they cried out to God. And you know the story as well as I do. God raised up from a child, Moses, who was raised in the house of Pharaoh, so he understood the courts of Egypt. He was reared and forged in the deserts while he was the son-in-law of a Midianite a priest. And in the deserts where he learned how to survive, he learned how to rely on God and to get ready for what would be 40 years of wanderings in the deserts. God's perfect plan. And so Moses now, as a child being saved, and raised in the house of Pharaoh, and as a young man, as an adult, being reared in the desert as a shepherd, is now before a new Pharaoh. And is asking for his people to be let free. And of course, you know the story. No, we're not going to let you go. We're not going to let our slaves go. And one plague after another. And each of those plagues, by the way, were specific plagues against different gods of Egypt. There was a god of the frogs. There was a god of the Nile, which turned to blood. There was a god of the livestock, which died. There was a god of light. And so there was an eclipse in our day. Darkness. There was darkness for more than just a little eclipse, for an entire day. And one by one, each of the gods of Egypt were conquered by the one true God. And finally, that last terrible plague. If you don't know this story, this is a little uncomfortable. The firstborn child in every family of Egypt that was not protected by the blood of an innocent one died when the angel of death passed over. Because the angel of death visited a house that was not covered in blood. What did they do? Well, Moses commanded all the children of Israel to sacrifice a lamb. To sacrifice a lamb. Now, does this sound a little familiar? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Does this sound a little familiar? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God? Do you think God was preparing his people hundreds and hundreds of years earlier for what Jesus would do? Absolutely. Take this innocent lamb and sacrifice it. Collect its blood and put it on the lintel, the top of the doorpost, and on the sides of each door of your house, so that when the angel of death comes, he will pass over. Now, it was over. It happened. The children of Israel got out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and in that miraculous parting of the Red Sea, they were on their way. They were safe from Egypt. But what were they supposed to do generation after generation, year after year, to celebrate Passover, to celebrate a memorial day? You see, a memorial is more than just a memory. A memory is one of those fleeting things. A memory is one of those warm and fuzzies. A real memorial day changes lives forever. The men who died for this country, we're here right now. They've changed our lives forever. The men and women who fought and laid down their lives that you and I would have a free nation changed us forever. It is good and it is right that once a year we honor them. Jim Scally, who lives just down the street and is the person in charge of the American Legion Hall, he was here last year and we spoke for the last couple of weeks. He's had a youth rally and he has been so busy with his men that I didn't dare put another thing on his plate. Otherwise, he would have been here today. And so next year, we're hoping that'll happen again. And he's like, thank you, Jim. Because between the youth rally and the parades and everything going on, he is just overwhelmed. But when I picked up his bell, he said, you know what makes me sad? Memorial Day has not become a solemn occasion. Barbecues and beaches and times with family, fantastic, because the men died, the women died, that we would have freedom to do that. But this is not a flag-waving, dancing celebration. This is a solemn remembrance of those who have passed away, that we would be free. But Scripture sets up for God's people a memorial day, not just to be a memory, but to change their very lives. Now, it's the Old Testament. It's filled with a lot of the old laws that you'll find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And I have to tell you, and I use this example a lot because of the town I live in, how it has ever changed the lives of God's Jewish people. In Bloomingburg, where I live, is where the Hasidics have an area where they live. And everything about them has been changed because of their faith. I respect that. I might not respect everything about them, but everything about their lives has been changed because of their faith. And when Passover comes, it is important to them. It is something that is deep within their families and in their culture and in their reverence. As Americans, there is nothing wrong, there is everything right with honoring in a solemn, life-changing way. Not just in this book that we read in Exodus, but already back in Genesis, the innocent life of one had to be taken to cover our sins. Have you read the book of Genesis, the very beginning? In the beginning, God created. But what happens when Adam and Eve sin and they realize that they are sinful? They no longer have a connection with God, but it's been broken. They hide from God. And when they hide from God, God walks in the garden and says, Adam, Eve, where are you? What's happened to us? And their sin is exposed and their nakedness is exposed. And Scripture tells us that God covered them with the skin of the first sacrifice. An innocent animal. The life was taken to cover our sin. At Passover, the blood of an innocent animal was used so that God's wrath would pass over us. And on the cross, not an animal, fully God and fully man, Jesus Christ, his blood was spilt so that our sins would be covered once and for all. You see, a memorial is not just a memory. Because a memory is something that is quick, it's fleeting, it's empty almost. It should change the very existence of our lives. Day in, day out. That mundane life that we live. Wake up every morning, go to work every day, go to bed at night. That mundane life needs to change. A memorial is not just a memory. It changes our ordinary lives into extraordinary lives because they are filled with meaning and value. The poppies lose their meaning if all they are is flowers. The book, the Bible, is meaningless. It's worthless if all it is a book to you. But if it's God's word, if the memory of what God has done for you is in here, it changes us, just as the story of the poppy becomes real when you know the story behind it. We're going to read from the book of Chronicles for a moment. Think of what Mr. Scally, who fought for this country, said. And I agree. Memorial Day is not one for lightheartedness. It is one for seriousness. So let's read for a moment from the book of 2 Chronicles, found on page 460. Solomon has just built the temple. Solomon has finished building his palace. And God speaks to Solomon, just as God was speaking to Moses in our first passage. Then the Lord, starting at verse 12 of chapter 7, then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I will shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Jump over to verse 19. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will cast it out of my sight. I will make it a proverb and beyond word by word among all peoples. We have a God that is filled with such love that he sent us Jesus Christ. But we have a righteous and just God. You know what? That is not a message that most churches like to preach anymore. We have a righteous and just God. Did you hear how this passage unfolded? God says, this is where you worship, and if you pray, I'm going to hear you and be with you. But if you don't, there is a consequence. Even God's house, the temple, would be wiped away, because God is not found in four walls. God is not found in wood and stone, in light fixtures and stained glass windows. A memorial is more than just a memory. God is not found just in memories, but he lives in the hearts and minds of his people. So this day, are you a people? Am I an individual who is changed by the gospel message in such a way that our ordinary lives are changed forever? And that we become a people of prayer, a people who hold back the wrath of God on behalf of our country, because our country has wandered away from God. I cannot think anymore that a song like the Battle Hymn of the Republic would be written and sung at our capital. We sing it now because it's history. We sing it now because it's part of our past. But for the most part, when we listen to our legislators, for the most part, when we listen to our country, the road that it is on is not one that brings honor and glory to our God. Are we going to be a people that humbles ourselves and prays for our nation, prays for our president, prays for our Supreme Court, prays for our congressmen and congresswomen and our senators? Because if we are not filled with God's Spirit, holding them in the palm of his hand in prayer, then we have forgotten our job. Then not only was the memorial supposed to be a memory, it has been a forgotten memory. Men and women died for this nation. It is right and good to give them respect and honor. But this nation is worth far more than just fighting for with bullets. Are you ready to fight as warriors in prayer? Are you ready to fight as warriors in grace and sharing with individuals in this nation the good news of Jesus Christ? A memorial should be more than just a memory. It should be a call to action. A memorial day should be more than just honoring the fallen, but something that gives you the strength to change your life to honor God above. I am ever so proud of my son who's on his way to Afghanistan. I am ever so grateful for this nation. But you know what? 1,000 years from now, if the Lord should tarry, the United States may not be here. But heaven will, The empty cross will. And our God will still be on the throne. This day is so hard for churches because there needs to be this balance between patriotism and worship. And I've got one last thought to kind of share before we close, come to the close of our service. I'm a dad of five. I love them. They're the apple of my eye. I will defend them with my life. And if I am truly honest with myself, they're ordinary young people. Now, where am I going with this? James, Thomas, Aaron, Caleb, the boys, Hannah, the daughter, are everything to me. And I am proud of them. This nation, in many ways, is everything to me. And I am proud of it. But if I was to think that they sang better than anyone else in the world, that would be arrogance. If I was to look at them and think that their grades were better than anybody else's grades, that would be arrogance. Do not be an arrogant American. Be grateful for your gifts. I am grateful for my children. I am grateful for this nation. But I would hope that my brother in Christ who lives in England is just as grateful for the gift of their country to them. And for my brother or sister in Christ who lives in Guatemala is grateful for the gifts that they've been given. I am not diminishing the United States. I am acknowledging that I have been given a gift, just like my children, and a responsibility to celebrate. Today is not a day to say, we are so much better than everybody else. If you do that, you've taken Memorial Day in a wrong direction. Today is a day to remember what God gave you as a gift, to honor it, to respect it, to defend it, and for it to change your life. Because ultimately, the gift comes from our sovereign God. Memorial Day is not just a memory. It's a day to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father in heaven, we ask, dear Lord, that you would not allow us to be complacent people, but you would call us on this Memorial Day, that the memory would turn into a call, and that we would be more your people here in this nation that you've given to us. We ask this because as weak and feeble human beings, we fall, we twist. But as children of God, you can set us straight. May we honor you, Lord, by honoring those who've given us this freedom. In Jesus' precious name, amen.